chapter 1. Give you there. Like Elizabeth Taylor told all her husbands, I won't keep you long. And so this message shouldn't, I don't think it's be a real long message, but that's what she said. Honey, I won't keep you long. Amen. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, and when he, talking about Jesus, had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word again, and we do thank you for the beautiful day that we were able to enjoy today. And Lord, thankful that we were able to make it back out, that we got our health and just the freedom and liberty to come back out, Lord, worship you. And we thank you for your word and for your son. Thank you for all you've done for us and all that we have to look forward to. We'll put this meeting into your hands. Speak to each heart that's here, Lord. Pour your spirit upon us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Of course, we see in the Bible here, and this isn't the only passage. There's several others that tells us this one thing, that Jesus is coming back. That Jesus is coming back, and it'll be a personal, bodily, and visible return of the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing we go, and I tell you, I got to studying this, and you know, you can get kind of confused with certain things that blend together in the Bible particularly, and you got to sort them out. But this is the way we believe, and we believe that the of a pre-tribulation rapture of the church, and that we believe that the Lord's going to come back. And when he comes back for his church, we're going to go and meet him in the air and be forever with the Lord, the way the Bible words it. And so that's not actually the visible, bodily, personal return of Jesus to the earth, which that'll happen, we believe, after the tribulation. But, you know, the Bible says that when he comes for the church, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those that are alive, and that will be changed, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Man, that's how fast it'll come. There's a lot of people that have tried to put a lot of dates on when that's going to take place, predictions, and, you know, all over the place. And then when those dates didn't come to pass, they extended the time out a little bit more. And when that didn't come to pass, they extended it out a little bit more. And I give you the reasons for it, you know, and but, you know, nobody's been correct on that. But I do know this, everything that the Bible has said that would be fulfilled before that event would take place has happened. And so the Lord could come back at any moment. I mean, in the twinkling of an eye, that's pretty quick when the Lord will come back. There won't be any time to get ready. There won't be any time to get saved. You're either saved now or you're not. And when the Lord comes back, it's too late. And so whatever it will be at that particular time. But then after the tribulation period, and the Bible's real clear on that, that there will be a personal, bodily, and visible resurrection, a return of the Lord. And you know, when the Lord comes and takes his church out of here before the rapture, and this is part of the reason you think things are bad now, you wait till the church, as feeble as it is, even in this day and time, wait till the church is taken out of the world. And, well, I'm not telling you to wait, actually, you know, I'm just a figure of speech. When the church is taken out, you wait till that takes place. And, you know, because the Bible says that we as Christians, we're salt, and we're supposed to be salt and light. That's what the Bible says about the church. Salt does a couple things. One thing it does, it preserves. We understand that. It preserves. But it also has some healing effects with certain things. See, actually, the church in the world today is kind of holding back, and the Holy Spirit's there, and the person of the Holy Spirit's dwelling in the believers. We're holding back evil in the world right now, believe it or not. It's holding back somewhat. Not as much as it could, should, and probably has in the past, but we're holding it back. But when the Lord takes the church out, and man, I mean, it's going to be, there'll be a little time of peace and security and all that. But boy, you see how wicked things are. Listen, right now, you think it's going to get a whole lot better? It's going to get a whole lot worse down here on this world, this earth right there. And, you know, all the vice and immorality and crime and greed and hatred and murder and all the things that we see going on is just going to get worse and worse. And worse. And, you know, we see in our text, You know, those men had said, the angel said to them, it says, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Why stand ye gazing at this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Boy, you know what? You just wait till that happens. You think there's people standing around? Those guys were standing there with their mouths hanging open, gazing up into heaven. Then you wait till after at the end of the tribulation period, and the Lord comes back in the sky. See, and when the rapture happens, not everybody's going to see him. Matter of fact, they're not even going to know what happened for sure. The saved people will. The lost people won't know what happened. There'll be some people that might remember some Bible scriptures and say something, but it's going to be denied. It's going to be explained away by somebody that's very wise. I think that'll be the Antichrist. He'll be on the scene. He'll explain that away. So not everybody sees it. But when the Lord comes back at the end of the tribulation period, the Bible says every eye shall see. Every eye shall see. And boy, I just got to thinking about it. Man, I know my mind and my spirit and my way I think will be different when I'm in heaven with the Lord. But on this one point, it might not be so different as we think it will be. But boy, you think there's some mouths hanging open there in our text. Wait till that day takes place. Boy, all them God deniers and all them God haters, wait till they get a load of Jesus coming back in the sky. All them ones that said there wasn't no God, and all them ones that hate God, and all them ones that don't want to have nothing to do with God, and all these people that are trying to legislate righteousness in, and all those people that are trying to do away with anything that God says and say what's evil is good and good's evil. Wait till they're all standing there with their mouths open, looking up into heaven. Matthew 24:30 says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Yeah, all the tribes of the earth are going to mourn because the party's going to be over. Huh? All that nightclub crowd down there, huh? Whooping it up down there with their drinks, spilling them and slopping them all over the place, huh? Dancing it up all night long, half naked, boy, and the Lord's coming back in the air, and they're going to be, oh, we got a problem. Yes, sir, we do. They're going to be a big problem that's going on. In Revelation 21, verse 8, the Bible says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." I mean, boy, you see that right there going on. And all those unbelievers will stand there and see the Lord coming back. And all those who commit abomination are going to stand there with their mouths hanging. They're going to see the Lord coming back right there. All them people that can't figure out which restroom they're supposed to use. Tell you the truth, the way it's getting now, I'm not real sure which one I'm supposed to use. Huh? The way sometimes I get that messed up in real life. I'll tell you what, all them people that can't decide all that stuff that's going on, they're going to have it straightened out. Huh? They're going to have it straightened out when the Lord comes back in the air. God calls that an abomination. In Romans chapter 1, he calls it a vile affection. All murderers, it says all murderers. Man, you watch all them dope heads on TV, and they got those gangs on TV, and they're out there, and they're just shooting people left and right, all because of greed, all because of money. I was watching a TV show on this afternoon. There was a thing on there from back in the 70s, Jimmy Hoffa. Everybody remember where Jimmy Hoffa? Anybody know where Jimmy Hoffa was buried? Don't nobody know. They couldn't find him. But they were going through all that, Jimmy Hoffa and this other guy that was bankrolling. They were borrowing money off the Teamsters, taking that money and investing it in the mafia. And all that, how that went, all it was, man, they wiretapped them and they got on the phone. Man, they didn't care who they killed. They didn't care about nothing but making money, making money, making money. And they were murdering people left and right. And you see it now in the gangs, people shooting each other up over dope and drug turf and everything else on there. All of them guys are going to be standing down there. Everybody's going to be standing there with their mouths hanging open, and the Lord's going to be coming back in the air, and every eye is going to see him. Boy, there ain't going to be a lot of arguing going on right then either. Huh, there ain't going to be no doubting going on right then either. There ain't going to be no but. There ain't going to be no buts about it. He's coming back. All those whoremongers, man, I talked about those nightclubs, them people sleeping around, them people shacking up, them people living in sin. They all going to see the Lord coming back, buddy, and it's going to be but. It's going to be too late. It's not going to be nothing that can be done about it at that time. And it says sorcerers there, witchcraft. People get involved in that stuff, man. I'll tell you what, there's a bunch of stuff like that goes on. Most of us probably don't know nothing about it. We just don't know anything about it. But it goes on, all kind of, they got seances. I told y'all down in Virginia Beach to Edgar Cayce Foundation. When I was a kid, I didn't know what it was. It was always, I never saw a human being on the grounds of the place. It was a real nice looking mansion looking house down there at the far end of the beach. And it always had the blinds drawn. And I never saw a single car going in and out of there. And I never saw a single soul there. And I asked somebody one time, I said, what is that? Edgar Cayce Foundation. Who's Edgar Cayce? Oh man, he's one of them seance guys. You go down there and I thought, well, you know, surely by now, you know, you'd think so a few years, when my dad died. We were down there and riding, been down by there in years. It used to just be this big old, whoever built the house way back in the day, had a lot of money and nice grounds and all went to it. I thought, well, you know, that stuff, who in the world is going to sink a lot of money into that, right? I went down there, man, oh, they done got, the house is in the middle. They got high-rise things going up all around there, big buildings and offices and everything, all still the Edgar Cayce Foundation. Seances, man, the occult, people practicing that. They're going to be, oh, man, the Lord's going to come back. They're going to be standing there. There'll be one standing there with their mouths hanging open, looking up into heaven. All idolaters, it says there. You know, an idolater, think about this, worshiping something, anything or anyone other than God. Idolaters. Man, what's the god of this world, money? Back there, but we'll go back up to the murderers. What, man, you know, if you're murdering people, that's your god, right? I mean, money's your god, and so all those worshiping something, power, money, whatever it may be, worshiping self, I talked about that this morning, all those people are going to be standing there with their mouths hanging open. And back then, look what it says in verse 21. It says, all liars. All's pretty inclusive, isn't it? What's all mean? Huh? Yeah, it don't mean somebody that's, you know, once in a while tells a lie, not that I recommend you doing that. It means people that practice. A habit of telling lies. They're all going to be standing there with their mouths hanging open, seeing the visible and personal and bodily return of Jesus Christ. You can count on that. You can bank it just as sure as it's written down. It's going to happen. It's in the Word of God, and He's coming back. When the Jesus came the very first time, and I'm talking about as a baby, the Bible says this, that it was accompanied by signs and wonders. Remember, we just had Christmas, you know, several months ago now. Seems like only yesterday. We had Christmas came, and we talked about the Christmas story. And boy, remember, there was the star that went, and the wise men. That was a couple years later, but it was still accompanied a sign of wonders. But on the night, the angels appeared, and those shepherds saw the angels, and they went, and then they went and saw the baby Jesus, and there was signs. It was a virgin birth. But the thing about those signs and wonders then, It was only seen by a relatively small number of people in relation to the whole world. Just the shepherds and a few people that happened to be around Bethlehem. Some people knew about it, some prophecy and things like that. But it was just relatively unknown outside of the Bethlehem area. But boy, when He comes back the next time, every human being, think about how that big that's going to be. How big it is. Because now, you know, we have things. I mean, everybody on the earth at night, when it's night on one half of the earth, you can see the moon. You know, and then even sometimes in the daytime. But, you know, but when the Lord comes, it's going to be night somewhere. And it's going to be day somewhere too. Everybody's going to see Him. Everybody will see Him at one time. And I'm going to tell you what, when He gets back, when He gets here, all things are going to be made right. Once and for all. That's a hallelujah point right there. Boy, it's going to be. And so when He comes, now the Lord's going to initiate four great related events in part of what has to do with His coming back. And I spoke briefly about number one. The very first thing we see is the resurrection of the dead. Resurrection of the dead. The Bible makes it clear that there's going to be a resurrection of the dead, both saved and the unsaved. And I think the saved dead that died before Christ, before the rapture, the saved dead and the saints that are alive are going to be raptured out, and it says they're going to be changed in the moment and twinkling of an eye. So I think they'll get a new body then. Then there's going to be people that are saved during. I started thinking about this because, man, I'll tell you, and this is one thing you got to kind of break it all down in the Bible with different passages to look at it, because you could look at it and say, well, there's going to be It looks like a general resurrection at the end of tribulation, but we know about the rapture that takes place beforehand, so you got to sort that out, and sometimes the passages blend them two together, and that makes it a little tougher, so I had to think about this. But what's going to happen during tribulation period, there's people that's going to get saved, and there's people that's going to be martyred for getting saved during tribulation period. Well, when at the end of tribulation, what's going to happen? All them people that got saved are going to get raptured up, because remember, they didn't go to church. Be a lot of them will be Jews. They're going to get raptured up, and all the lost, all the dead, the people that were lost from the beginning of time are going to be resurrected and stand, and then those that are lost that are still alive, they won't have to be resurrected, but they'll still stand before the Lord on judgment day. John 5:28-29 says, let me back up a little bit, didn't mark it. John chapter 5:28-29 says, marvel not at this. The hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. They're all going to have to come to life, and it's going to be a different circumstance. The saved, once again, like say before, and I think those that are saved after during tribulation, they're going to put on incorruption, just like the church did. There's no corruptible thing going to be in heaven, so there'll be a new body. Well, I can't wait for that. Man, a new body. Miss Markham called, said, boys, Floyd's shoulder's just killing him, and she's got allergies. Well, guess what? When we get a new body, your shoulder's not going to be aching. You know, when you walk across the floor at morning, it's not going to be all that popping and cracking. Sounds like stuff's falling apart. You're not sure. You got to look behind you and make sure you ain't leaving nothing on the carpet when you go. You know, oh, look, there's my foot. Feels like it. I mean, your back's not going to be hurting, man. It's going to be, we'll get that new body. That's going to be great. It's not going to be a corruptible body. Then that's going to be a good thing. But so the saved will have that. And then, and the reason, one of the reasons for that, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, you know, we are a triune being. We have a soul and a spirit. Now, you know, absent from the body is present with the Lord, but that's not a bodily presentation. We're going to be absent from the body. If you die, present with the Lord, that'll be your soul and spirit. But we are a triune being. God made us that way. We're a body, soul, and a spirit. And God didn't intend for our soul and spirit to be separated, permanently from the body. So God's going to put us back. Guess what? You're going to walk in heaven. You just ain't going to be floating around some little spirit up there in heaven. You're going to have a body. Huh? You're going to walk barefooted on the streets of gold. Whatever. You're going to have a body. And because that's the way. So God puts us back. And we're going to be able to enjoy the good things, of heaven and live eternally in a body. So he's got to give us one. And that's going to be a great thing. And he didn't want us to be a disembodied spirit. The Bible says that we're created in the image of God. That's bodily and spiritually. We're created in the image of God. And when Christ was raised, it wasn't just a spirit that went up out of the grave. It was a whole body. His whole body. Remember, we just had Easter, right? The body was missing. The tomb was empty. Well, we're going to raise up bodily too. And we're going to be standing around saying, man, look at this. And so, we experience his resurrection was a representative act also of our resurrection. We're going to experience the things that Christ experienced. We know we experience suffering now. We experience pain now, persecution, those type of things. And then we're going to experience the resurrection in a physical sense of the body. We can have the new life in the spiritual sense now. And so, the new body, as I said, no longer under the curse. Boy, a perfect body conformed to the body of Jesus Christ. Man, that's going to be, I don't know, everybody's speculated, how old are we going to be? I don't know, we're going to be 32 years old, 33 and a half, whatever it was Jesus was. I don't know. I'd take it. I'd take it, man. That'd be good. But I don't know about that. But I just know we're going to have a new one. We don't have to worry about it. I know it won't be. It don't matter. You could be 100 in the body they're going to give you in heaven when the Lord gives us a body 100. I guarantee you, you'll be jumping up and clicking your heels and feeling good, and you'll live in that body forever. And so, that's going to be great. Then the unsaved are going to be united in their body. You ever thought about that? Why? You ever thought about why the unsaved? Because listen, as from the body's present with the Lord, but when the unsaved die, listen, their soul and spirit's in torments now. They're in torments now, but it's not the full. Just like we don't have the full experience of heaven yet. And I don't even know that we will have a full experience until we get our body, our new body. We get, you know, the church will get it at rapture. But the unsaved, they're in torments now, but they're going to be placed back in their body in order that the death and punishment in all its weight might be imposed on them. They're going to suffer in a body. And I don't think it's not going to be a new body. You die at 90, you're going to be suffering in a 90-year-old body. You die without the Lord at 20, you're going to suffer in a 20-year-old body. I just the way I think. It doesn't say it's going to be new. It doesn't say it's going to be a certain age. But it's going to, you're going to be put back with that body so that you can suffer everlasting torment and feel the full weight of that torment. So we know that the first thing we see is that the Lord's return is going to be to implement the resurrection of the dead. The second thing we see that the judgment, the Lord's return is for the judgment of the living and the dead. Right back there in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 and 12, the Bible says there, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is in the book of life, and the dead, which were judged out of those things, which were written in the books according to their works." And it goes on to say, "And the sea gave up the dead." You know, there's people that listen to this. It says, "The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." I know people that they think they're going to outsmart God. They think, "Oh man, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get myself cremated and scatter my ashes all over creation. And then God's not going to be able to put me back together when he comes back." Wrong. With God, all things are possible, right? Huh? He can put you back together in a heartbeat. People think, "Oh, well, you know, I'm going to be buried out at sea, and then all the little fish are going to eat all my body, and then, my bones will get all scattered, and they'll go away, and there's just no way God's going to be able to put me back together." Wrong. He'll get it put back together. Trust me, he'll get it done. But we see the judgment there. We see in verse 11, a great white throne. A great white throne judgment. The names, those whose names are not found in the book of life at that judgment are going to be cast in the lake of fire to suffer eternal torment. And they've already tasted that torment before that resurrected body. But they're going to be put back in their body at that judgment. And then there's going to be that judgment passed, and they'll be forever standing in torments. There won't be any saved people standing at the great white throne judgment. Not for judgment on her salvation. God's glory is going to be displayed in two ways at that judgment right there. Of course, his grace and mercy will be magnified in the person saved. All the people that saved. You know, the Calvinistic viewpoint that is one of the Calvinistic viewpoints is this, the limited atonement. And that means that they believe that Jesus only died for the people that get saved. That he only died for them, that he didn't die for the whole world. Because this is their argument. I mean, I don't believe it, but this is their argument. They said that if Jesus died for somebody and then he didn't get saved, then God's plan was somehow thwarted. You know, that it didn't, his desire and his will and his plan didn't work. But see, it's real simple to correct. His plan was that he would die for every single person. And that, but he knew in his omniscience that everybody in the world would not get saved. He knew that. And so that was his plan. So his plan was fulfilled in that sense right there. And so really what's going to happen, all the saved people, and there's going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot is going to magnify God. And it's going to magnify his grace, and it's going to magnify his mercy in all those persons saved. Listen, all those people saved that are standing before the Lord, they didn't deserve to get saved any more than the people that didn't get saved. They were just as undeserving, but the thing was they put faith in Jesus Christ. So it magnifies God. And then listen, the judgment of God, his holiness and his righteousness will be magnified in all those persons that are lost on Judgment Day. See, it's God's holiness that will not overlook their sin. He can't overlook it. His love could, but His holiness can't. He's holy. It has to be a... And if you didn't trust the payment, if Jesus Christ is making a payment for your sin and you reject it, then that means you got to make the payment. And that payment is eternal death. That payment is eternal death. But do you accept Jesus Christ, and do you accept His payment? The payment's going to be made one way or the other. There's no two ways around that. And so God's holiness and righteousness is magnified in the persons that are lost. And then the third thing we see is the establishment of His kingdom. Establishment of His kingdom. You know, a lot of times it looks like, maybe even to save people, I don't know this for a fact, that if anybody thinks this way, I don't think this way, but the world might think this way, and I think the reason that the world is going so far down the tubes at the high rate of speed that it's going down, and it seems that godlessness is increasing as it is the world out there thinks, they're starting to think that God's not in control. Listen, you know, we know that the Lord's going to come back and He's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron, right? We understand that in the Bible. The Bible talks about that in the 1,000-year millennial period. He'll be ruling with a rod of iron, and in the eternal state, He'll be ruling as well. He's still ruling now. There's never been a time that He hasn't been in control of what's going on. There's things He allows. There's things He allows to go on. And there's things that if we would follow Him and be filled with the Spirit and all, we wouldn't be going in that direction. But God is allowing those things to take place. He's in control. There's not a moment when He's not in charge. But listen, the fullness of His rule will be seen. Boy, the Lord comes riding back in. I don't know if I put those verses down. I thought I did, but I didn't see them in here anywhere. Let me see. I can't, it's real close to where I'm reading. I just can't find it. Where He's riding in with the King of Kings. 19. I knew I was really close. Yeah. No. It's not the one I'm looking for. Here it is. You're right, 19:11. I was looking at 20:11. 19, he said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. Now listen, this is the second coming of Christ. This is why their mouths are going to be dropping open. This is what they're going to be staring at when they see the Lord coming back. Heaven open and a white horse, and He's going to be sitting on that. And it says His eyes were like a flame of fire, and His head were many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses. I got a feeling we might be in them armies right there. We're going to be coming back with the Lord, man. We're going to be riding on. We'll be riding on horses too, maybe boy. We're going to be coming along and clothed in. It said the armies followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen. I look good in white. Get white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treaded the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And He had on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's why they're going to be standing there like this. They're going to be standing there with their mouth hanging open, because that's what they're going to see. He's coming back, buddy, and there's going to be army. Heaven's opened up, man, and there He is. The whole world will see it all at one time. And He's going to come back, and He's going to rule with a rod of iron right then. He's on the throne now, but we're just not seeing the fullness of His rule. And I can't wait. Man, I'm telling you what, because, you know, I've said this before, during the millennial period, when He's ruling and reigning for that 1,000-year period, there's going to be people being born. And it says at the end that Satan will be loose for a little while, and the multitude of people that follow him will be like the sands of the sea. In other words, you can't number them. These are people that didn't get saved during the millennial period. Man, if you can't get saved during the millennial period when the Lord's ruling with a rod of iron, I'm going to tell you one thing about it. There'll be a bunch of unsaved, like we're saved people living in the midst of an unsaved world, right? They're going to be unsaved people living in the midst of a saved world, because the Lord's going to be, and there ain't going to be no protesters on telling you that you got to take the Ten Commandments down out of the courthouse and that you got to wear, you know, you're going to the bathroom according to what kind of clothes you got on instead of what kind of sex that you actually are. And there's not going to be a bunch of smart alecks out there, you know, saying that killing babies is okay and that same-sex marriages are okay. And there's not going to be none of them knuckleheads are going to have to keep their mouths shut. They may not believe in Jesus Christ, but they're not going to be able to say nothing against the Lord and against His Word. It's going to be ruled with a rod of iron. In other words, and I'll tell you what, everybody's going to be in church on Sunday. I don't know if I'm going to be preaching in Sunday, but I can't wait. If I am, I ain't going to have to be sitting around saying, well, I wonder where that family is and that family is and that family. They're going to be there because they're not going to be sick. They're not going to get sick. They're going to be right there. They'll be in church, man. And it's going to be all the nonsense. All the nonsense is going to cease at that time, and it's going to be the fullness of His rule. And the Bible says, you know what else? Every knee going to bow. Huh? Every tongue's going to confess. Huh? Even the ones that don't believe it. they'll know that He's the Lord. They'll know it don't mean they're going to follow Him. I know good and well that there's people out there that in their mind, they know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is real. They know that Jesus Christ is God. They believe in the deity of Christ. They believe that. They know that. They understand that, but they're still not saved. And I believe in people that don't follow the Lord. You know why they're not saved? Because they don't want to get saved. The people that don't follow the Lord and during the millennial period will know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord is Lord. They're going to know it. They're still not going to follow Him. Now, it don't make sense to me. You know, I don't understand why. But that's just the way it is. Don't understand it now. Why wouldn't anybody want to get saved? You understand that? You can't understand it. I understand it more now than I do then, than it would be in the millennial period. Why nobody would get, but there'll be people that won't get saved. When everything's going to be good, there's not going to be like nightclubs and drug heads and vice and all that going on out there in the millennial period. No. Man, it's going to be that's when it says the lion's going to lay down with the lamb. Hunting will be easy, man. Huh? Yeah, you just call that elk over. Come over here. Elk calling will be easy. There's not going to be no corruption like that going on. And people still won't believe. It doesn't make sense. You got to be a complete idiot. I think you got to be a complete idiot not to get saved today. Amen. Knowing what's going on in the world today. Every knee's going to bow. I had one time I told somebody, I was a new Christian, kind of a new Christian. And I wasn't living for God either, but I was telling somebody. They was all proud and got all bristled up, man. I said, every knee's going to bow. I said, Yeah, They said, I said, That's the way it's going to be. Every knee's going to bow. You wait and see. And then if I'm there and I see him, I'm going to say, I told you. They didn't listen. Yeah. And I'll tell you one thing. He's going to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen. We're not going to have a primary election. Huh? Amen. We're not going to have a television debate to figure out who we want to elect to rule over us. Hey, that's going to be good right there. That's worth it right there. Huh? Yeah, we're not going to have people out there counting the delegates and arguing about how the delegation thing works out. Yeah, it won't be no debating. No, he's going to be the one candidate, and it don't matter whether you vote for him or not, he's going to win the election. How you like that right there? That's going to be good right there. He's going to establish his king, and every time we'll confess. I said it, you know, guess what? It won't be against the law to pray in school. Huh? How about that? It won't be against the law to pray in public. Imagine that. It won't be against the law to have your Bible in any place you want to have it. The government buildings, the government officials, we're still going to have some kind of government going on. Probably not the one we got now. Thank the Lord for that, right? Huh? I was preaching one time at Brother Neil's about, and I was using the message on Samson, and I was talking about how bad things are, and I said, you know, as bad as our country is, I said, can you imagine? Just think how bad it would be. Just think of some other nation. You know, all the wars that we've had pretty much other than the Civil War and way back, you know, when England came over. But all the wars in modern times, you know, we have gone to some other country and fought. But just think of some other, and I was saying this, I said, just think if another nation came over here and you woke up one morning and some other country was on the shores of the United States and took over our country. And I said, well, that's probably not a good illustration. That might not be a bad idea, right? But in all reality, we wouldn't want that to take place, although it could be a better deal for us, right? Listen, there won't, like I said, it won't be against the law to have the Ten Commandments posted. And I'll tell you another thing that's going to go on, and this may sound narrow-minded, and you say, oh, well, preacher, you know, you prejudice, and, you know, you're not being politically correct, and you're not being inclusive, and, you know, you're not being... But there's not going to be no Hindus. There's not going to be any Muslims during the millennial period. There's not going to be any Hare Krishnas during the millennial period. There's not going to be any Buddhist during the millennial period, and there's not going to be any nudist in the millennial period. Huh? Amen. There's not going to be none of them, man. It's going to exist. No. It ain't going to be, well, just worship whatever you want. No, no. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. Right? All that's going to be gone. Oh, you sound so hard. I'm just telling you the truth. Huh? That's the way it's going to be. These people aren't going to make it. They're not going to make it to the millennial period. They're going to be standing at the great white throne judgment at the end of tribulation. They're going to stand there for that. Huh? Yeah, it ain't going to be the false religions during the millennial period. It's going to be Jesus Christ. He's going to be the none. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you another thing. Jesus isn't going to be worried about offending anybody either. Huh? He's not going to be worrying about offending anybody. He's not going to be worrying about whether, well, I wonder if I sound politically correct. I don't think he's going to give a rip if he sounds politically. It's not going to be. None of that's going to happen. He's going to establish his kingdom. And the fourth thing we'll see is the restoration of created order. In Acts 3:21, just one little verse there, and this is what it's speaking about. It says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No. What am I looking at? 3:20. That's 3:21. I know that's not making sense. It says in 3:21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. The restitution of all things. That's talking about the restoration of the created order. The Bible says there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. The new heaven is speaking about the new the atmospheric heaven, not the new heaven. There's nothing wrong with heaven up where God is. It's talking about the air, the space up above. Heaven and a new earth. The whole planet is going to be transformed when the Lord comes back, that millennial period. Man, it's going to be a time of peace and you know, I just wondered about certain things, the way the earth's going to be. But it's going to be a lot less problems that we have than we have today, even in the creation itself. Won't be pollution, and there's not going to be, you know, air pollution and all these other things going on in the world and water and this and that and the other thing. As I said, people have been trying to figure out for years when the rapture is going to take place. I don't know when the rapture is going to take place, but I can tell you when the Lord's coming back to the earth. Right at the end of tribulation. It's right at the end of tribulation. That's when he'll be back. And you better not be here. You better already be gone. If you're not, I wouldn't be here during, I won't be down tribulation. And then he says this. He said, you know, in one other little point, getting down to the end. He says, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? He told us in our text in Acts 1:11. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? There's almost an implication there for us, the church. Don't be just sitting around, standing around, looking up into heaven, waiting on the Lord to come back. Get busy doing what God would have you to do. Huh? Get busy winning souls. Get busy being witnesses for Christ. Get busy serving God. Don't just stand there gazing up into heaven. Huh? He's coming back. Don't worry about it. It says every eye. You're not going to miss it. You don't have to stand there looking up in the sky saying, gee, I wonder when the Lord's coming back. You'll know. You'll know. Huh? That'll be down at the end of tribulation, as I said. Rapture comes. You're not, the rapture's going to happen so fast. Huh? You're not going to, you know, you're just going to be up there. Boom. You're going to meet him in the air. But he says, you know, get busy. We're supposed to live. The Bible teaches us to live expectantly. We're living expectantly to expect his return. Well, how do you live expectantly? There's a whole message you could preach on that. Living expectantly. What would that do? Wouldn't that have some bearing on what you do or didn't do? Huh? What do you want to be doing when the rapture takes place? Huh? What do you want to be doing when the rapture, when you go and stand in present, pop into the presence of the Lord? What do you want to be doing? Huh? Some sinful thing? Huh? Or you want to be serving God? Huh? How'd you like to be serving God? My pastor used to always say it didn't happen, but he said, man, I hope I'm in the pulpit preaching when the Lord comes back. He said, man, I'd like to be up there, you know, serving God. I mean, we don't going to get any brownie points for that or anything. It's not going to matter, but he just wanted to be, you know, found serving God. So it should affect. And that's one of the reasons that the Bible has the teachings it does on the return of the Lord, that he's going to affect our conduct, to affect our conduct. When he returns, he's going to return one day. He's going to set things in order. And those are the four areas that will be set in order. Thank God for that. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand, heads bowed.